Love God, lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
Turn in your Bibles now to Matthew 22, 36 and 40. I won't keep you too long. I just want to drop this in your spirit. We've been in a series called Love God and Lift Others. You can go back and hear those on the podcast. We talked a lot about what loving God looks like, okay? The world has a definition of love, but Jesus doesn't go by that definition of love. And he tells us here in Matthew 22, 36, he says, "Teacher," they say to him, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus says to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And we've talked about what this means. Jesus is saying this. So many people are trying to fulfill the law. So many people are trying to keep all the statements of the law. We got to fulfill this. We got to watch this. We got to do this. We got to dot this I and cross this T. And Jesus says, hey, get your focus off of that. If you simply will love me with all your heart, soul, and mind, and if you'll simply love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to fulfill all of the law. It'll be as if you did every single thing in the law. And so we've talked about that and what that looks like. A quick review, Jesus said, with all your heart. We saw that the word heart speaks of a person's moral character. If you're loving God with your heart, that means you're loving him with your character. It means this: I don't care who you used to be, you don't steal anymore. I don't care where you come from, you don't sleep around anymore. Smile at me, church. Come on, even through the masks. And see, we don't get to use the excuse of, I'm from this, or I used to be this, or I did time. No, Jesus says, love me with your heart, which means love me with your character. How you live your life gives God glory. That's what it means to love him with your heart. We also see, he said, love me with your soul, which is the true essence of who you are. So many of us are still living out of the old birth. Pastor Tina has been talking to you about that. Quit living out of that old birth and change the essence of who you are by living out of the new birth, okay? Doesn't matter where you're from, who your mom was, who your dad was. We got to stop giving ourselves a pass because of where we come from. And we use that to go, well, you know, I'm saved, but, you know, I'm still ratchet or whatever. No, you're not. You got to be saved. You know, it's not this righteous and ratchet thing. Quit it. That's childish. You're righteous, not ratchet. Come on. Tell your neighbor that. No, don't say that. Okay, and the third thing he talked about is love the Lord with all your mind, which is your intellect, your reason, and your thoughts. And this is why we emphasize so much of the Word of God in this church, because I can't change. My thoughts aren't going to change you. All right, my ideas aren't going to change you. But if we can preach the word to you, it can get down in your heart. It could start changing the way you think about life, about every aspect of your life. And you are loving God when your thoughts reflect his word, Are you tracking with me today? This is how we love God, with our heart, with our soul, and our mind. And you can go and hear that message there. Well, today we're talking about now what it means to love God in the sense of lifting others. And that's what I want to get at today. And, you know, I'm reminded of Matthew 9, 35 through 38, where Jesus had just got done preaching and feeding the 5,000. And the Bible talks about as he went from city to city and village to village, he stopped and he had a moment. And the Bible says that his heart was filled with compassion as he looked at the people. And he made this statement as he turned to his disciples. He said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And then he tells the disciples this statement. He says to them, "Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." And this is what I want to drop in your spirit before I let you go and get lunch in just a minute. So much of the church is focused simply on loving God through our vertical expression of love towards God. Like, we'll sing songs, we'll lift our hands, we'll give offerings, we'll come and sit in a building for an hour and a half on Sunday, and we'll view that as, "God, I'm loving on you today." And yes, you are. But remember, there's a second side to the greatest commandment. Jesus said, this commandment is just like the first. He said, you've got to love your neighbor as yourself. You got to love people. Because he says, when you're loving horizontally, it's the same as loving vertically. Are you tracking with me? When you're loving on people, it's the same as God saying you're loving on me. When we went to Honduras, we weren't just loving on those people. God said, you spent all that money, you flew all that way, you took your vacation time to love on me. When we're feeding families here at the church in South Sac, and you're coming and you're serving, Jesus doesn't see you as doing that for your neighbor. He sees that as you doing it for him. And herein lies the problem with most Christians. Most Christians are not doing a good job of loving others. And we need to change this. Tell your neighbor, I got to change this. Now, there's a very selfish spirit in America that invades the church. And as a pastor, I could say this. I feel like sometimes it's our fault as church leaders and pastors that we bow to this spirit, this consumerism spirit that's in America today. And we produce a brand of Christian that doesn't do anything for anybody else. You know, when we started this church, part of where this vision came from, it came from being a pastor for 20 years. And I pastored in and I've traveled and spoken a lot of churches. And much of what I was beginning to see in the church in America just grieved my heart. Because it was this consumerism spirit. To where if you ask the average Christian why they go to a church, they will tell you, "I go to the church because I like the pastor's preaching. I go to a church because I like the praise and worship. I go to church because I like the kids ministry or the youth ministry." And it's this mentality on a Christian that just comes to take, take, take. And Jesus said, it's better, it's greater to give than to receive. And as we were praying about coming back home to Sacramento, my wife and I would be in prayer. And I told the Lord sometime at that time, I said, "Lord, we're willing to leave the house that we built, this gated community that we live in. Lord, I'll turn in my leased car and we'll pull my son out of private school and I'll leave all this behind to do what you want me to do. But God, I just ask that you make a church like no other. A church, Lord God, that won't be selfish, that won't be consumed with just coming and hearing good teaching week after week and coming in." And I know in 20 years, I got tired of laying hands on the same folks. I got tired of seeing nobody doing anything for anybody else in the community that they were in. And I said, "God, I'm willing to leave all this and go through whatever we got to go through in Sacramento If you will just make sure that you can help us raise up disciples in your image. Disciples that will have a heart like you had in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus looked at the people and he said, these are people, these are sheep with no shepherd. These are people that aren't doing anything. And he tells the disciples, we got to pray. We got to pray that there will be harvesters that rise up. And so since day one of this starting this church, that has been my wife and I's cry that, Lord, you will raise up harvesters to go into the multitudes and reap the harvest. And folks, if you're a member of this church, you're one of them. God wants you to be a harvester. Why? Because listen to the scriptures. Jesus looks over in Matthew chapter 9 and he's moved with compassion. How can you say you follow Jesus and your heart is not moved in the same way? We have to be people that see the harvest is our responsibility. And you may not do what I do. You may never hold a mic and speak to a crowd, but what is it you can do? I saw on this trip, man, I saw people, I saw our team. Some of them just did security detail. I saw others do puppet shows. I saw some of us do all three. Others were able to do nursing and interpreting and whatever. It doesn't matter what you do, just be a harvester. Because Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. But the second is just like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And I've talked about this before on our Thursday night Bible study. There's an epidemic in our nation right now as Fox and CNN have reported that the unemployment rate is still plummeted. It's still not rising. And, you know, we haven't seen a high unemployment rate like this in many years. Now, many of us know a big part of that came when the government decided to increase unemployment benefits. And people go, well, why should I go back to work when I can receive benefits at home? How many know what I'm talking about? And so you drive down by these restaurants in Midtown on Monday and Tuesday, and there'll be a sign out that says, sorry, we're closed due to understaffing. Many restaurants can't even open like they did before because they don't have enough people going to work. And what is behind this? What's behind this is the lie that I could stay at home and receive benefits without doing work. Now, can I tell you this same spirit is in the church today? What's happening across America? I know pastors all over America, and the average rate for churches is only 60% of church attendance has gone back to what it was pre-COVID. That means there's no church that's running what they were running pre-COVID. All the attendance numbers have gone down. And you want to know why? Because people are saying, I could sit home and watch the live stream at home and receive the benefits at home and not have to go do the work. And it's the same spirit that's in the world right now. But the problem with these folks, and you know, we provide live stream. Hey, everybody. Amen. I'm talking to you. We provide live stream because it will always provide it. If you can't get to church, we have something for you. But it shouldn't be that you choose live stream over going to God's house. It's not meant to be a replacement. But here's the problem. We love comfort. We don't want to do anything. And so America is struggling because people don't want to go back to work. And we see the same thing in the church. The church is not able to bring in the harvest because folks don't want to work. And I believe it's because we don't understand the blessing of work. Can I get an amen on that? That's a pretty good amen. I was expecting a weak amen, but y'all know in this house you got to understand the blessing of work. Work is not a part of the curse. Because in a perfect world in Genesis, when God creates this lavish garden with all the things that man could ever need, He puts man and Adam and Eve in the garden, a perfect environment. And in paradise, he gives Adam a job. Why? Why would he do that to Adam? Because work is a blessing. Oh, somebody needs to hear this today. Work is not a curse, it's a blessing. And when you learn to embrace being a laborer as blessing, your life is going to explode with blessing. The problem we have right now in the church is the church doesn't believe that. So we'll have mega churches, right? Full buildings where people don't do anything to promote the gospel except sit in a chair once a week and hear the word and think, I'm getting blessed, I'm getting blessed. Listen, you're no different than somebody that just sits at home and just collects a check and thinks they're getting over because they don't have to work. Because let me tell you, studies have shown that when you don't work, there are symptoms that will plague your life. Sociologists have found in this current pandemic that the rise in unemployment leads to many behind-the-scenes ailments that our nation is struggling with, like depression. Depression is a big problem when people don't work. And anybody that's ever been without a job can say amen to that. I remember when I moved to California from Florida and I couldn't find work for, it lasted about 2 months. That was probably one of the toughest 2 months in my life because I didn't have something to put my gifts to use and begin to do. And sociologists have found when somebody is not working, they're going to struggle with depression. They're going to struggle with anxiety. They're going to struggle with low self-esteem. And they're going to struggle with psychosomatic symptoms that rise in people when they're not productive. Now, track with me now. What they found during COVID that has happened is a lot of psychosomatic symptoms have risen that involves a person focusing on physical symptoms such as pain, weakness, shortness of breath. And much of this, they say, is caused by excessive thoughts, feelings, and behaviors relating to a physical symptom. Now, what does that mean? Lack of purpose and lack of work is not good for you. You need to catch this today because it translates in the spirit. Some of you have been at the same spiritual level for a long time. It's time for you to get spiritually employed. It's time for you to do what these 10 folks did that came up here, these four folks that came up here and shared their testimony about this mission trip. It's time for you to just say yes. Then the healing will come. Yes. Then the marriage will change. Yes. Then whatever it is you're believing for might come into the picture. But the first thing you got to do is say yes. You know what we don't like that though. We want all the blessings and then we'll do it. God, I'll go if you bring the money. No, God says you go, then I'll bring the money. You gotta say yes. And you gotta break this agreement with the enemy that says it's better to receive. Did you know that's a lie from Satan? It goes directly opposed to what Jesus said. That's how I know it's from the devil. Jesus, out of his mouth, he cannot lie. He said, hey, y'all, it's way better to give than it is to receive. When are we going to believe that? When are we going to start going, you know what? I got to give that some thought because I've been on this tip that I'm all about receiving. Gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. Come on. We're all about free. If it's free, if it's for me, amen? You know, we're just all about take, take, take. When God says no, you got to get out there. The harvest is great. I need laborers. We need to be a church that says, God, I'll lift others. I'll get out there. I'll serve at my church. I'll give a Sunday a month or two. I'll go on the outreach. We got our outreach coming up for Halloween that we do every year, and we start our craft nights. Hey, I'll go to that. I'll sacrifice something to help lift others. Why? Because God, I got to do something for you. Because if I don't do something for you, I'm going to struggle. Yes, I might be getting the word. And yes, I get to sleep in every week. And yes, I just get to be comfortable in my happy little church. But behind the scenes, you're not growing. You're not satisfied. You got low self-esteem when it comes to your Christianity. Pastor, what do you mean by that? That's why you don't pray for people. We don't pray for people because we don't think our prayers will do anything. That's low self-esteem. That's low self-esteem, man. You got to change who you are. And you know what contributes to low self-esteem? Not working for the Lord. Not taking a spiritual employment. Are you tracking with me today? See, there's a correlation between the natural and the spiritual. Sociologists say if you're not working, it causes your self-esteem to struggle. Same thing in the spirit. You're not doing nothing for God. You don't tell people about Jesus. You're at your office. You're undercover Christian. We should call you James Bond. Nobody knows you're a Christian until they see you at a Christian event. And you're like, oh, you're at this concert too. Oh, you go to, yeah, I go to church. Would have never known. You want to know why? Because you're afraid to share your faith. Because your self-esteem in the spirit is so low. You know what's going to happen when you join the usher team or the greeting team or you come and help at an outreach? You begin to see how valuable you are to the kingdom. You begin to line yourself up with who you are in Christ. And then you begin to share without even needing to. It just kind of comes out of you. Are you tracking with me today? But we've got to break this cycle. Let me just give you this last thing here. I want you to see. These are the effects of unemployment. You can write these things down. This is what sociologists say happens to the unemployed. Number one, their literacy rate drops. People that don't work usually don't read. And their understanding drops down. Can I tell you, it's the same thing in the church? It's amazing to me how many people don't know God's word, don't have a hunger for God's word. Come to church and won't even remember this message come tomorrow morning. Hey, what was church about? God, I think. I think he talked about God. But you know what? There's some of you, if I ask that tomorrow, you'll be able to say, we talked about lifting others. And he talked about how we got to get involved. Because your literacy rate is high. You want to know why? Because you're productive. You're productive. It has to do with your spiritual intelligence. The same way sociologists have found in the natural that people that don't work, it affects them the opposite way. You know what else is another effect of unemployment in the natural? They found poverty. Poverty. Not just not having money, but having lack in their thinking. See, when you don't work, this thing jumps on you, and it's the same way in the church. It's the same way. When you're not working for the Lord, when you're not being a laborer for God, when you're not lifting others, you begin to now have a poverty mindset. What is a poverty mindset? We saw it in Honduras. It's I'm going to do whatever I can to get. I'm going to take, take, take. And if somebody else offers me something better, I'm going to go there. And this is what we have today in church growth circles, right? Where a new church will open up and everybody from their churches leave their church and go to that church because that guy's more famous and I want to hear his word. Never mind that God said, hey, I called you to be in this church. I called you to be a part of this vision. Yeah, but Pastor, that guy is with Stephen Furtick and he's famous and everybody likes him. And so a consumer will leave their family to get more. We saw this in Honduras. Kids in the streets. And you say, where's your dad? And they say, he's up north. He's at the front. He went across the frontera. He crossed the border. And what they found over there is these parents never come back for their kids. What would cause that? You want to know what causes that? A poverty mindset that says it's all about me, 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 me. If I can get more, I'll go. Are you tracking with me today? But see, what happens when somebody labors for God? They're vested. They don't have a poverty mindset. They have an abundance mindset. Come on, let me give you a couple more and I'll let you go. Effects of unemployment, homelessness. Homelessness. Do you know homelessness is a part of the curse? Because God wants you to be planted somewhere. That means there should be a church that you call, this is my church. You shouldn't be one of these guys, oh, I go over here sometimes, I go over there, and then I go over here and this and there. No, get a home. Plant yourself. Put down roots. Build that thing. Amen? And you only do this when you're working for the Lord. They also found out that family tension leading to breakdown is another effect of unemployment. When you're not working, marriages usually break apart. There's strife amongst the kids and amongst the families. Why is there so much strife in a lot of churches? It's because nobody's doing anything. Nobody's saying, God, I want to help you reach the harvest. And the last effect that sociologists have found with unemployment is boredom. Boredom. You know what boredom will cause you to do? Go back to your old life. Your old broke down boyfriend. Your old jacked up girlfriend. Come on. Your old messed up friends. Because you're just bored. Listen, as a kingdom citizen, you should not be bored. There's work to do. Amen? But here's what you got to do. You got to quit making excuses like Janelle was saying. You just got to say yes. God, I don't know how you can use me. I don't even know what I can do. But as an opportunity arises, Lord, I'll say yes. And when you do that, His provision will follow you. Amen? Did y'all get something out of that today? Come on, let's stand on our feet. What is it that God has created you to do? Look at your Christian life today. Are you just a church goer? Listen, get involved. Lift other people. You've got this connection down. It's time to get this connection down. Serve your brothers and sisters. Be a part of a great church. Be a part of a great community. Say yes when it comes to reaping the harvest. Father, I just pray over every person that is here today. And I ask, Lord God, that you would speak to them about putting their hand to the plow. Lord, what will you use them to do in reaping the harvest? Lord, I pray that I can make it uncomfortable enough in this place for people to just come and spectate. Because, Lord, you said it's greater, it's better to give than to receive. Lord, may we live like that. And when we do that, when we put the kingdom of God first, the blessings of healing, the blessings of prosperity, the blessings of abundance and fulfillment will follow. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Did you guys get something today? Give God a good praise clap. Amen.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.